Fun for a ride. It'll be fun. But at least I remember that part. Thank you, children. Well, as Leanne said, it was good to be home, but it is good to be home. Ohio was fine. The weather was okay. It was humid, but it wasn't that like painful, like soul-crushing humidity that you've all heard so much about. It was actually just like spirit-crushing, which is different.
It was bad.
He's weak. He doesn't know what he's talking about. No, but it was good, but it's so good to be back home and in a routine and trying to figure out kind of next steps for Northgate. I'm grateful for the people who sort of held down the fort while Jesse and Tiffany and Leanne and I were gone. Thank you to all of those folks who had roles in that. The past 2 weeks have been sort of times for deep reflection, a lot of sort of introspective thinking, right? Looking at our own lives, as well as just reflecting on the first year of time here at Northgate Community Church. As I said, the four of us were in Ohio and at the Brethren Church National Conference, and what was fascinating is just how good of a time even the conference was. It was encouraging to me in a lot of ways. One of the most painful things to watch was there's a social issues document that the Brethren Church is trying to get approved. So any of you who have been in any of those kind of parliamentary procedure meetings can imagine 250 pastors trying to agree on something from coast to coast. Now, pastors also, it's dangerous to give us microphones because we're used to just talking and nobody tells us to stop, right? So we had about 250 people all sort of fighting about all these different social issues. And at the end of the day, we sort of came to a consensus, which I just think is like, it's a beautiful thing when sort of brethren tradition works. It's also beautiful to see people fighting for their positions because that means they still care, right? They're still passionate and committed to this movement that is the Brethren Church. So that was encouraging. The woman who was the keynote speaker, her name was Shannon Martin, she was talking about neighboring. She was talking about taking risks for Jesus. She was talking about getting outside of your comfort zone. And these are all things that we've been talking about for the last year and things we're going to continue to talk about for the next several months at least. What I appreciated about her is she wasn't some mega church pastor. She went to a church that's actually smaller than ours in rural Indiana, but had all these great insights about what it looks like to neighbor and to neighbor with significance. So that was interesting. You remember a couple weeks ago, well, a couple months ago, Gary Deal came, and he talked about how, in case you weren't keeping up, the world is changing, and the church needs to change as well. So we kind of put some of that in play. And then a guy you may have heard of, Stephen Cole, was talking about how we as Christians, as the church, have to be willing to take risks. We have to be willing to step out of the things that make us comfortable, out of the status quo. So all of these things are things that have just been cycling around in my head for the last year, and things that were, it was just so encouraging and confirming to hear everybody else in the movement talking about the same things. There's even a guy who's a new person, most of you don't know. His name's Patrick Sprague, who's like the storyteller communications guru for the Brethren Church. And he has this idea of, it's called Story and Song is the thing that he's doing, which is this idea that like, hey, each tribe, each group of people have their messaging, have their story, and we need to get better at telling our story. That the Methodist story is fine, it's just not our story. That the Catholic story is fine, it's just not ours. We as a people need to get better and more creative at just telling who we are through art, through photography, through poetry, through songs. And so he's gathering all of the denomination's creativity, and then we're going to sort of have this on display at the next conference. So it's this idea that like we want to kind of get smaller and grow more intimate as a denomination, even as we try to grow. All of those things are things that we have been talking about for the past year. I believe that churches often miss opportunities to be grateful and to recognize the movement of the Lord among them because we don't take the time to just pause and do that. So today, in large part, is about that. I have my list, because somebody has to have something, right? So I have a list of all the amazing things that I've seen happen in this body for the last year, and I'm going to share them with you, but I don't want to be the only one talking. So I'm going to prime the pump now and say in about 15 minutes, we're going to open the floor, and I want to hear from you all. Where have you seen the movement of the Lord in our congregation over the last year? So I'm telling you that now. I'm going to go down a different rabbit trail, and then I'm going to come back to that because I don't want to just spring it on you and start shoving microphones in people's faces who aren't prepared. So be thinking with one part of your brain, yeah, where have I seen God moving? What's different? What's better? What's changing? Where do we see his fingerprints? I want you to be thinking about that as we move forward. You've heard me talk, well, those of you who have been in these sermon preview things, I often say that it's in the silence that we make connections. Right? If in my preaching I just never took a break, I just went from one topic to the next, and there was just this constant sort of droning on of, there'd be no room for you to catch up. That's the purpose of today, is to just pause, create space, not for me and the leadership to make connections of where God has been, but for you folks to have time and space to make those connections. While you're reflecting, let me pick up on a piece of scripture that I think captures all of the elements that we saw at the national conference and some of the things that we've been talking about again over the past year. For those of you who want to look it up on your own, we're not going to have any slides. It's in Mark 10, verses 17 to 22. This is the story of the rich young ruler. Mark 10, 17 to 22. So a little bit of like just what happened just before the passage that we're talking about is Jesus is just sort of lecturing on divorce. He has all these children that are coming up, and he's saying, you know, the disciples are kind of like, hands off, kids. And Jesus is like, no, bring them here. Let it, like, and you just, at the end, you get this picture of Jesus just kind of like snuggling all the little kids, right? Like he's sitting on, the kids are just on his lap, and he's tussling their hair and like zerbeting in their necks and tickling them and stuff, right? Jesus is just hanging out with the children. And then we get to verse 17. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him, him being Jesus, and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit the eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't defraud. Honor your father and mother. And the rich young ruler said to him, teacher, I've kept all these from my youth. So probably from the time he was 13 in Jewish culture, that's kind of when you have your bar mitzvah. That's when you become a man and you sort of accept the moral responsibilities for your actions. And the rich young ruler is saying, yeah, I've got all that. Check. I've done that. And there's a passage in verse 21 that I think we often overlook, and this is my new favorite part of this story. It says, looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give it to the poor, and you will have your treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. Then in verse 22, it takes a sad turn. But at these words, the rich young ruler was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. We've all heard this 100 times. It goes on in the following verses to talk about how it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to get into heaven. We're not actually talking about richness today. We're talking about Jesus looking at the rich young ruler's eyes and feeling a love for him. Now, what's interesting is the rich young ruler wasn't a bad dude, right? It's not like the guy at the Pool of Bethesda or somebody who's like kind of lived a questionable life. He's, by all accounts, he's a good guy. Jesus feels love for him and says, you know what you need to do is give up all that. Give up all those good distractions. Yeah, you haven't murdered, you're not an adulterer, you're not defrauding people, you honor your father and mother, all good. I need you to step away from that. Focus on the treasures that you're going to be storing in heaven and follow me. The rich young ruler's idea from the beginning is, what do I need to do to get eternal life? And we've talked enough about this. You guys are old enough in Christ to know it's not about what you do. It's about, do you or do you not receive the free gift of grace that comes from the cross? And so Jesus is saying, no, you're looking at this all wrong. I used to look at this as Jesus telling the rich young ruler, kind of like setting him up for failure or punishing him. Oh, you think you've got it figured out? Kind of like trying to zing him. No, Jesus looks at him and says, he feels a love for this rich young ruler. He wants what is good for him because he's Jesus. And what is good for him is for him to step outside his comforts, to forfeit the things that are the status quo, even though all of those things are good. Jesus wants to invite this person into more, to following Christ, to getting rid of the distractions. It's hard to be a rich young ruler and have all these servants and these gems and stuff and like go traipsing through the deserts with Jesus, right? That just weighs you down. It's bad backpacking, right? You need to unload some weight. Jesus is saying, those are all distractions. Let's let that go. What matters is me and how you follow me. Friends, Jesus is asking us to do the same thing today, not to throw away all the good things that we're going to talk about here in a minute. I don't think he's telling any of us, you have to pray this out on your own, but I don't think he's telling any of us to sell everything we own and give it to the poor, but that's between you and him. But he is asking us to just forfeit some of our comfort, forfeit a little bit more security so that we can follow him. God came to give us a life and life abundantly. And that's what he's inviting the rich young ruler into. And I believe that over the next several months, that's what he's inviting Northgate into. You as individuals, but also this community of obedient, committed, generous, loving, accepting people. He just wants us to just get a little uncomfortable. And I think that's what he's asking us into today. So, before we get into all of the good things that I have seen, again, not suggesting that we need to forfeit these things, but these are the things that we want to celebrate. We want to say, wow, God is doing more than just showing up at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, right? This is kind of that constant refrain you've heard me say. Church is more than 11 to 12 on Sunday morning. What else has he done? What are the areas that you've seen him at work? What I want you to do, yes, just do one of these. Stick your hand up in the air. You know I have a tendency to go long, so don't hurt me here. Be concise, but let us hear your heart. Don't just give us bullet points. But what are areas that you've seen the Lord? Yes, because I want the people in podcast land to be able to hear, and I want us to be able to remember this as we move forward. It's on.
A few days ago when we had that fireworks booth, we got robbed. There still is a whole lot of real good people left in this world. They came and gave us donations to help pull us out of the hole we were in. So that was really, really terrific. And I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Others?
I don't think that I'm the only one that has noticed this, but the way that worship has grown and transformed over the last year, and just seeing everyone on stage stepping into the beauty and the fullness of worship and just being a beautiful example of what that should look like.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think something that that we don't necessarily see on Sunday, but like between Monday and Saturday, is the leadership teams and the people that are in leadership. There's this presence there that is unexplainable, that has really reignited and reinvigorated some of the intentionality of what it is that we're trying to do, like on the Sunday morning experiences and throughout the week. So I think that the leadership is a lot more focused.
Sometimes it's helpful for me to just wait because I know that the Spirit is like whispering to some of you and you're like, should I say it? It's a microphone.
That's exactly what I was going to say, is that the Spirit is really showing up because we're opening our hearts to that, you know, to the Spirit being here with us, engulfing us. And, he loves it. He loves the worship. He loves our hearts are changing and, you know, it's just awesome. Worship is awesome.
Yeah. Amen. Jean's showing off. She's got two.
I just want to say, when I first started coming to this church, there were some children that I saw a good potential in, and I'm just so happy to see the growth. Jesse and Tiffany and Kim and Daniel. Kim preaching that day, it was just awesome, totally awesome, and something she never would have been able to do a year or 2 years ago. And Tiffany also speaking out and spreading the word. I just enjoy watching them grow.
Thank you.
We won't do this all day, but I want to make sure that if you have something, there's time, space.
All right, so you guys have hit on a lot of the things that I've been impressed by and just been passionately able to observe. Before I give you my list, I do want to say there are a couple things that I've lamented in my first year here. The old adage is you praise publicly and you offer critiques privately. So I'm not critiquing anybody except kind of myself, because I'm a grown-up and you're allowed to do that publicly. And because it helps the church. It adds, I think, a blessing to sort of the future of who we are as Northgate. This will be a surprise to some of you. I'm not awesome at everything. I know. You guys thought you hired that guy. False. I tried to be as upfront as I could and tell you I stink at a lot of stuff. There are some things in particular that I'm just not great at. I'm not going to enumerate all those because that seems like just a bad idea. I'll let you guys just, maybe I shouldn't let your minds wander. But I'll tell you this, there are some elements of being a pastor that just don't come naturally to me, right? There's a sort of a model of spiritual gifts. Remember we talked about spiritual gifts back in like October, and then we talked about calling and how that God resources us for a specific calling. We talked about this and how it takes a whole body to do these things. There's a model of ministry that's called the APAS model. A meaning apostolic, P is prophetic, evangelistic, shepherd is shepherding, and teaching. My gift set is not particularly shepherdy. Many, many, many brethren pastors are shepherds. They're the people who just... They just know how to sit with the sick, and they know how to counsel, and they can just like love on people. Don't hear me saying I don't love you folks. It's just that the expression of that is just not one of my natural giftings. And this has become clear over the last year to at least me, and I know at least a couple of you. I'm not saying this as an excuse, like, well, I'm not good at it, so someone else has to pick up the slack. Because, you know, Paul talks with Timothy about that, right? He says, look, you may not want to do evangelism, but you got to get your tail out there and do evangelism. Like, you're the pastor. There are certain things you have to do. So this is, one, a public commitment that I'm going to keep trying to get better at that and the other things that I'm not super awesome at. But at the same time, some of you are just naturally wired as shepherds. You love sitting with sad folks and counseling them and encouraging them. It's just natural for you. Some of you love visiting people who are sick. I'm a germaphobe, so it's weird for me to go sit with sick folk. Doesn't mean I'm not going to do it. Doesn't mean I don't want to do it. It means that it's an area that's not a natural gifting for me. And as the pastor, I want to just invite your participation in those things. Whatever your gift set is, we talked about this a year ago, and I'm going to reinstitute the conversation. Look, you all have gifts. Many of them are gifts that I don't have. And I just want to be able to rely on you, and I want to invite you to serve out of your giftedness in ways that are natural. Teaching for me is natural. Some of you would be terrified to get up, and Kim's like, to get up and teach. I can do it all day if you let me. So there's natural giftings. Yeah. Yeah, Maki's saying that. Yeah, he's saying that he has his other church in Stockton. Yeah, he gets to go and do this. This is a gift of his. I don't know if it's invite or free up or what it is, but you all have gifts, and the body needs all of those gifts. And so that's what we want to invite you into. If that's just, Miles, I don't know what it looks like. I'm really good at hugging people. Awesome. Let's get coffee, hug it out, and talk about how we can sort of release you to impact the kingdom. The other sort of thing that we haven't done a super great thing of is just growing the church. It hasn't happened quite the way I had envisioned. I think all people in their first post just assume, like, you're going to open there's a big S, and the church is going to just grow. It actually doesn't work that way. But I'm not, like, beaten up about it because it also hasn't been a top priority. I talked with some of you when I first got here. You know what my church growth strategy was? It's preach the word, encourage the body, praise the Lord, serve the sick. That's it. Love people, love the Lord. And when we do that well, I think the church grows, because the thing that makes the church grow is not programming, it's not systems, it's not Miles, it's the presence of Jesus. And we've already heard that we see that here today. Having said that, it does help when we invite other people into this, right? So I have not made it a big priority to say, hey, let's invite all of our friends. But now I would like to say, look, we have, and I'm going to go into the list now. We have a lot of really good things happening right now, right here in this group. And I don't want the church to grow for ego. I don't want the church to grow so there are less chairs. I want the church to grow because the church should always be growing. We should be winning folks to Jesus. The church functions more efficiently or effectively, more powerfully, when we're greater in number. I don't think there will be a day necessarily when we're a church of 500, but gosh, it would be cool if there were another 30 or 40 of us. Some of the people who work tirelessly could take a break, and I'll bet they would be super excited about that. So let me tell you about the things that, for me, really have us humming along. When I started here, just before I started here, you guys did the NCD. Remember, there's a survey, what's good, what's bad. Any of you remember this? Somebody please shake your head yes. One, good. One of the things that was scored low was just the Sunday service, some systems that people said needed to be in place, and leadership development. Those were kind of the three low areas, and so obviously that's where I targeted. It's encouraging for me to hear a couple people even say, yeah, the Sunday service, folks, the Sunday service is not a weakness now. I think that, as Leanne said and as a couple of you have hinted to, the worship team is just humming, right? Every week there's something different. I've told Kim this, and I'm gonna just embarrass everybody. I don't care. Kim, like 6 months ago, just started really opening her mouth and singing, not from her vocal cords or even her abdomen, but like from her soul. When Tiffany said, yeah, we're not going to play the drums anymore, I'm going to play the bass. There's like a freedom, and we've talked about this, and everybody on the worship team has said, yeah, it just feels right. We have time and space and energy to be creative. And I think when we're here, we see that. Those of us who aren't musical but get to just participate in what the Lord is doing. And I see a lot of heads shaking, yes, affirming. So worship team has been fantastic. When I was at Five Stones, we used to have like four or five different groups of people that we could shuffle in. And I remember it was about a year ago, I had said, hey, what if we started cycling some of you folks off? And everybody's like, wait, why would I not worship? Because they're just so committed and dedicated. We had to kind of like loosen up their hands to let them get some rest because they're so committed. And now it's just so fun. They don't want to stop. Financially and numerically, we haven't grown a bunch, but we haven't shrunk. That's good. That makes me feel good about things. It's not like, oh, there were 30 and now there's four. I'd be fired. It would stink. But we've also kind of found some stability monetarily. I, as a new pastor, haven't had to come in and start talking about tithing all the time and tithing all the time. We're doing okay. In fact, Dave would know better, but there have been a couple months where we actually had more money than we thought we would. That doesn't happen in churches. Not very often. So I want to say thank you to those of you who are dedicated and committed tithers. I want you to know that it matters. It's not just that you put your check in as some sort of like membership fee. Like we're trying to really steward that the money and the time that you give us well. We have built some new, more effective structures. Not all of them have been easy, but we've built some new structures. When I first got here, announcements, people used to, it would be like the day of, and it's like, hey, can you announce these six things? And I'm like, no, I don't even know what you're talking about. So we've built in some structures that have kind of streamlined some things and made at least Jesse's in my life a little easier. We've increased the accountability in some relationships. We want to really clarify expectations of relationships and not just allow passive-aggressive things to continue. We want to have the grown-up, kind of sometimes tough conversations because we think that the relationships are too important not to have those. That's what we're here for, is to have those conversations. When we were talking about this on Wednesday, somebody was talking about the children's ministry and how every time they do something different. And they're really sort of testing their waters. And that goes not just to Denise, but to her whole team. People who are really willing to just, yeah, this is what we're going to try. We're going to play outside on a slip and slide and have a water balloon fight and have everybody bring food. And those of you who missed it yesterday, it was a great time. Just taking risks and trying to do new and exciting things. Daniel has organized this thing that some of you know about, some of you don't, some will love it, some will hate it. It's called the Brethren Brew Pub, which is an opportunity for us to just invite people whom we would never have an opportunity to interact with. To come together, we have a drink, and we talk about Jesus. Unorthodox, not status quo, praise the Lord. In the several months we've been doing this, we've probably met 20 people that we would never, ever, ever have met. And we get to, for an hour at least, sit and talk about Jesus and grace and vulnerability and ministry and mercy. And in that context, and as you've seen over the last couple months, all these new gifts are bubbling up. Tiffany, don't anybody look at her, but Tiffany took an opportunity to speak to mostly strangers that night about vulnerability. Those of you who know Tiffany are like, of all things, vulnerability. How about it? A year and a half ago, would that have happened? Kim preaching. A year and a half ago. I remember when the first time we met, I said, hey, Kim, sometime I'm going to need you to preach. And she's like, She didn't think I meant it, but you saw it. Parag, 2 weeks ago, brought the word, from what I hear, at this Brethren Boo Pub. People are having gifts called out in them, not just by me, not just by the leadership, but by the Spirit and the movement of the Spirit in this place. When we are a people who identify gifts in others and help empower them and encourage them and resource them to step out in faith to do the things, the hard things, folks, that's the church. This is your church. These are the things happening now. So all this time I've spent talking about, like, look, it's not going to be the same. It's already not the same. The church is already not 11 to noon every Sunday. But things, folks, are starting to happen. I'm going super long. God forgive me. I love all of the new voices is my, that's the summary of that. Let me give you just a couple other things. All of those things need to be celebrated. All of those things are awesome. But they are now part of Northgate. This is the culture of Northgate. For now. This is the status quo. Not that we need to forfeit all of this, as Jesus tells the rich young ruler, stop doing all the things you're doing. This is you all have already sold all your stuff and given it to the poor, and we've taken one step down the road with Jesus into new and exciting things. And so that kind of stuff needs to be celebrated. Let me tell you about a couple things that are upcoming, just because I'm excited about them and I want to tell you about them because they're going to be fun. Number one, starting next week, we're going to start a sermon series on neighboring. It's going to be 3 weeks. What does it look like to be a neighbor? This is obviously an important thing in Scripture. If you don't believe me, we'll come back next week. We'll talk. The week after, or the series after that is about the vision. And I'm going to apologize up front. I've gotten a little bit ahead on the vision. It was one of those things where I'm like, is this possible? And I started asking around, and I'm like, oh, it is. And it's going to be awesome. But I forgot to, like, tell you all about it. So apology up front. We're going to sort of rein it back, and then we're going to talk about where I think God wants us, and then hopefully you guys can see his fingerprints all over that too. Then we're going to spend 7 weeks in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John because those books are small but awesome. They're about love. I think we could talk about love for a bit. Monday, November 20th, and you don't have to write this down, we're going to do an evening threefold communion right here. We're going to partner with Zayo. They're going to bring their people, and so we're going to do the threefold communion as we typically do, and we're just going to share time fellowshipping with one another and with Jesus. Then we're going to move into a time of Advent, and then in January, we're either going to do the book of Nehemiah or one of the synoptic gospels. In October, I'm going to run a discipleship training because this is a thing that the church needs. We are here to make disciples. I've got this whole thing. We're going to do that. In September, we're going to have a campus cleanup. I don't know the exact date yet, but in case you don't know, like, it kind of looks just trashy out back. We want to just make it look nice, right? This is the church. We should look okay. We shouldn't be grossed out when we walk through our parking lot. I've got big ideas because that's just who I am, but we were thinking maybe bushes go away. We just need to kind of help secure our facility. We're also going to start doing communion on the first Sunday of every month because I think Jesus says, do the communion. And I love the threefold communion, and we're going to keep doing that. But I think Jesus wants us to just do it more than twice a year. So we're going to start doing the communion, just the bread and the cup, first Sunday of every month. And then we're also, Leanne and I have talked, we're going to invite the church to leftovers at the Larsonage. What this means is not leftovers that the Larsons have, you come and eat. What this means is, look, you all are going to, in 3 minutes, go to lunch. Right? You're going to eat somewhere. Well, why not just do it with us next door? We're not going to prepare a whole bunch of food for you. It's not going to be fancy. We'll have paper plates, and you bring your own food. But rather than everybody going to 50 different places, let's just all get together and hang out in our backyard, look at our chickens, and talk. Right? Let's just hang out as a church family. So bring your own food. That's important. but that starts next week. So if that means you're going to run to Taco Bell and grab a $5 box and then come back, that's awesome. But we just want to do life together. We just want to hang out a little bit more. Folks, those are just my ideas and the ideas that I've sort of prayed through and said, I think God wants these to happen. I've got a lot of other ones, but those are on the back burner. What about your ideas? What are the things that excite you about this church community? I'm not asking right now. This is rhetorical because I'm already way over and Kim's going to yell at me. But what are the things that excite you, that make you get out of bed and come to church on Sunday morning with excitement? Those are the things I want to hear. Those are the things the church leadership wants to hear. Smart money is those are the things we all want to hear because we want to be a church that dynamically impacts our community, but also those who are already here. If we are a body, if we are a family, we need to connect like one. A year ago, Jesse passed the torch to me. Remember this ceremony? It was awesome. I have the torch in my office. It's constantly burning. It's a great image. And what I want this year to be about is I want you to think of that torch as just like, this isn't my church. This isn't my, I mean, it is my job, but it's not my responsibility. It's our responsibility as a church family to grow deeper, wider, more in love with one another and with Christ. And so I want everybody's little torches to be going. And I want you to be thinking about ways that you can invest in your family. That's it. I got to pray and get the worship team back up. I got to close up. Heavenly Father, I'm obviously excited. I hope other people are. Jesus, we're grateful that you've already just showered us with so many blessings, with so many opportunities to celebrate, to be excited. Lord, you are currently and have been at work in this body. And for that, God, we are grateful. We don't want to overlook the significance of the things that you've done. Rather, Lord, we want to pause, be grateful, acknowledge them, and then turn our eyes back to you, Father, asking for more. Father, I pray that you continue to encourage us, to make us live boldly, and that we would grow closer together and to you. We pray these things in the name of Christ. Amen.